Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody jump! Jump!
A good Wednesday. Happy hump day, one and all. Taz Moose with you right here on CBS Sports Radio, coming to you live, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Who found a better way to mortgage so you can focus on making your new house home? Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Pete, Mike across the way, Andrew, he's got double duty right up until 9 a.m. Eastern time. We take you 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4CBS.
Attention hotline fans.
Yes, that's your number to call. What's going on, Taz?
Watch that.
Mike on. What's going on, buddy? How you doing, bud?
Everything's good. Everything's okay. Everything's okay right now. We'll see what happens, but everything's fine.
And, good.
We're going to have a great show. I'm looking forward to it. We've got a special guest, former GM Jones, coming on the show here, huh?
Yeah, Mike Tannenbaum, former capologist and GM with the Jets and then executive with Miami Dolphins, is going to join us a little later on the program.
I told you we shared an elevator ride together, him and I.
Remember that?
Should I bring it up to him later on? Probably not, right?
Why not?
That's weird, though. He was in the middle of talking to somebody on the elevator. I recognized him. I don't think he recognized me, which was offensive. And but looking forward to having him on. No, I just think it might be weird to bring it up because we didn't talk, you know.
Oh, so then probably
maybe not, right? You're not going to bring it up, right? If I don't bring it up, you're not going to do that, right?
Why would I bring up a meeting?
Well,
between
like
you
as
and
a
him?
Little rib. But not, it wasn't a meeting. It was that's the problem. It's embarrassing.
Well, I was meeting on an elevator. Why would I had nothing to do with it?
I know, but you never know. Because I might have done that to you as a little shot, like a little joke. So sometimes we do needle each other. That's why.
Oh,
you're known to needle.
Oh,
let's be honest.
I gotcha.
You can needle. You're a needler.
Yeah. No, I didn't.
Don't bring it up. I'd rather not. It was awful.
No.
We're in L.A. An elevator in L.A. at the fancy hotel, and he's talking to somebody like in depth, and I'm sitting there by myself, acting like something's going on my phone.
I got you.
It was awkward.
That is a little strange.
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
it was a little strange.
Anyway, hopefully, the interview goes better than my story.
So well, yeah. Hopefully, it does. Rip roaring start on a Wednesday.
That's how it is. It's a hump day, as they call it.
Right. Sometimes you hit a home run. Sometimes you don't.
Sometimes you hit a little Texas leaguer moose.
That's it. A little dribbler off home plate.
What are you gonna do?
But yes, Tannenbaum will join us a little later on the program. So that'll be a good conversation.
Yeah,
a lot to get into with him. In terms of all the intriguing storylines going on. And, you know, number one is, you know, the Giants did make a switch. You know, you nailed it yesterday when you thought they were going to go to Daniel Jones for against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this week. You know, and I'm still surprised that they made that decision as the Manning era does come to an end. And Daniel Jones will be starting this week as the Giants are 6.5, 7-point underdogs down in Tampa against the Buccaneers and Bruce Arians and Winston. And that defense and the like, which was brings to an end an era of Giant football that was pretty legendary. You know, where Eli stayed very, very healthy over the duration of his career. You know, this was going to be it regardless. You were going to see Daniel Jones at some point this year. And the Giants, after an 0-2 start, decided to make the switch yesterday and go with Jones.
Yeah, you know, I got to tell you, even though I had a feeling it was going to happen, I still was a little surprised. You know, that when you ever have something like that where your gut tells you something, but then it happens, you're like, wow, I kind of thought it happened, but it is a little surprising. But regardless, you know, I got to tell you, man, it's – and I get why people say it and why people feel like this is it. You know, and he this guy had a legendary career, and he did, Eli Manning, and he deserves nothing but respect and – an epic, epic career. I mean, quarterbacks would pray to have a career like this guy, half as good as this guy. But, I mean, I might be the only guy who thinks like this, but and I understand the narrative that, you know, it's over for him. But, you know, like, because this kid is the future Daniel Jones. This is they're going to run with win, lose, or draw. But really, I mean, let's say, it was hypothetics, you know, in 2 weeks, Daniel Jones is playing horribly. And then they put Eli back in. That can happen, and right? And he can, you know, I mean, but, like, from a media perspective, like, explain to me why a lot of people feel like that. Like, it's over. That's it. I get it, kind of, but, like, It doesn't
well, this
have
is
to
the
be
final
over.
Year of Eli in a Giant uniform.
Right, because his contract and all that stuff.
His contract's up after this year, right? He's I think he could have made up to upwards of $23, $24 million with incentives. I think he's guaranteed if he doesn't start another game or play all that much, I think he's going to make $17 million this year. I think this is it. That's why. I think when you transition away, when you draft that quarterback, it's no longer – you know, his team, when you draft a quarterback sixth overall, all of a sudden becomes, kind of a co-quarterback team and the young quarterback's team in waiting. That's the way I look at it. I mean, could Daniel Jones get hurt and Eli right. play again? Yeah. But, I mean, if, for all intents and purposes, you know, Manning as being the guy in New York with right. the Giants, you know, that's over.
Yeah, no, I'm not disputing. I'm just saying, like, I just give like why, a different, a little bit of a different, like, you know, but and I, think, I get it. And I agree with it. I understand.
I
it,
think
know?
That's the reason why
a lot
know,
of
people
folks
are,
feel like
well,
that.
Well, because
yeah.
he's, yeah, he's.
This is it.
Yeah, this is it. Yeah. I think that's the reason why. Could Jones implode and be god awful? Manning get back in there at some point? He could. Yeah, I mean, right, I don't right. think anything's off the board. I mean, it's. I think the Giants will deal with the struggles. I think Daniel Jones would have to be. Like, really, 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 really bad. Like, horrifically yeah. bad.
Like Miami Dolphin bad.
Yeah, I mean, right, exactly. For the Giants to go back there, Taz, because, you know, now it becomes a year for the Giants in which it becomes all about the quarterback. There's not focus on the play calling with Pat Shurmur, or it's not about, you know, the lack of defensive performance or defensive talent or Betcher and the defensive coordinator, the lack of adjustments that he's shown you in the first couple of weeks. Now it all becomes about him.
Yeah.
He's the singular focus, and the development of Daniel Jones becomes the main focus. So it takes a lot of heat off the general manager, Gettleman, who you could be critical of not doing all that great of a job. And it certainly takes the pressure off the head coach and Pat Shurmur, because this year now will be deemed a success if by the end of the year, Daniel Jones shows star potential at that position.
Right. And during a preseason, and you know, I understand that doesn't mean I don't say hill of beans, but that's not everything. But he did play really good. He was like 29 to 35 or 34, something like that. And he had over 400 yards and a couple touchdowns in four games. So, you know, he did play really good. And if memory serves me during the preseason, you know, you're dipping out of these preseason games, Moose. And it's like, I'm pretty sure he played a lot of the preseason and first quarter with the first team offensive line, which maybe that was a dress rehearsal for him, maybe to see, you know, see how he gelled with a lot of the ones, you know, and I would assume he knows the system well. And I'm going to ask you this question, because I don't feel there's like a ton of pressure on the kid. I really don't. I almost feel like it's a win-win for him now. Do you feel like there's pressure on him?
I don't know.
Besides the pressure he puts on himself, obviously.
Well, right. You know. I don't know how much. I don't think there's pressure to win.
That's what I mean. Like the expectation.
No, I don't think there's the expectation to win. I think there's pressure, like you mentioned, Taz. I think there's pressure on him to perform.
Right.
He was the sixth overall pick. I don't know what that feels like to be the sixth overall pick, but I would imagine that, you know, you do have the feel and the vibe that you want to live up to expectations and be the guy. You have a golden opportunity to. You know, for a flagship franchise for the National Football League to be that quarterback for the foreseeable future, and now you're going to see. I mean, the preseason, you're right; he looked the part. Now, didn't face many defensive schemes,
right.
And very, very vanilla defense. But you would be excited the fact that he threw to anticipation. Threw guys open. Those are all positive things when you look at it. He's certainly an athletic kid. The one thing he's got to do is hold on to the football. He fumbled the ball.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, fumbled the ball, I believe it was four times in the preseason. His only drive this year was against the Dallas Cowboys. That ended with him fumbling the football and losing it to the Cowboys. So, I mean, that's something, you know, ball security and getting hit, even if you're athletic, Taz, if you get hit and you keep on putting the ball on the turf, that's going to be a problem. So that's got to be something that's got to be rectified. But, you know, here's where the Giants, to me, Taz, is ass backwards, is, you know, Eli should never have been part of the equation this year. If you had an idea that you were going to transition away from him this early in the season, you never should have paid Eli Manning. You never should have given him that kind of money. I think maybe they felt a little bit of guilt by the way that they benched him and Ben McAdoo benched him and put Geno Smith in there, and how they botched that entire scenario. Remember that?
All of a sudden, quickly,
he was back in. John Mara wasn't in the building when Eli was announced. Yeah, went there for his
all. And
he was out on a business trip. I mean, they completely botched that. So maybe this was a nice, you know, $17 to $23 million going away parting gift for Eli Manning. But that's the issue you have. If you're going to make it a rebuilding year, and it is a rebuilding year, it's going to be all about the young quarterback, then that's the biggest complaint you'd have of all is, you know, the game plan for the Giants organization. Like you mentioned the Miami Dolphins. We get the Miami Dolphins game plan. We might not like it as they're 21-point underdogs this week against the Cowboys, but, I mean, they've made it abundantly clear. They haven't split any hairs, right? We're going to stink. We're going to be god-awful. We're going to rebuild it. We're going to accumulate as many draft assets as we possibly can. We're going to pair off most of the talent on our team, and we're going to rebuild it from the ground up, right? The Giants tried to split the baby where they tried to be relevant with Eli Manning, but also develop a young quarterback, which is next to impossible to go out there and do. And that's where you would get on Gettleman and the Giants organization for not making a clear, distinct decision one way or the other. And if you're going to do this early in the season, then really, honestly, Eli never should have been part of the equation.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that at all. I totally agree with you. From a structure, business, schematic plan by Gettleman and company. Yeah, no, I don't agree with what they did either. You know, the good thing here, though, this is, maybe it's obvious, I don't know, but it's if you think about it, you know, not a lot of people are talking about the superstar running back, Barkley. You know, this is a great opportunity for these two young guys to own that backfield and get chemistry together that, for Giants fans, you got to be excited. You have potentially a really good quarterback here, and you know you have an amazing running back. So this is you know, right now you don't have a superstar wide receiver, but still you have a backfield with a quarterback and a halfback that could be your future for a lot of years.
Yeah, you do.
That's a big deal.
You're right, and Jones has got to play up to the potential of Barkley.
Yeah.
And Gettleman and Shurmur could be saved by if Daniel Jones is what the Giants believe that he will be.
Yeah.
If Daniel Jones is a star quarterback, then, you know, Dave Gettleman's going to be treated like a conquering hero. If Daniel Jones is a stiff, you know, Dave Gettleman and Pat Shurmur are going to be looking for work, and the Giants are going to be transitioning to somebody else. I mean, that's really what it comes down to, Taz, but the pressure's now off them, right? You're no longer, when we go around the league on Tuesdays and talk about the games and react in the Sundays, and we talk about the Giants, we weren't going to be all that much moving forward because they're not a particularly good team, but it wasn't going to be about, oh, look how bad that defense is. Now it's going to be about, hey, Daniel Jones went blah, 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 blah for so many yards and two touchdowns and a pick. I thought he looked great yesterday. Oh, I thought Daniel Jones looked terrible. That's really all the topic is going to be here.
I know.
And, and maybe you'll throw in a couple epic Saquon Barkley runs over the course of the year, Taz.
Sure.
But that's all you're going to be talking about now. So you're not going to get on Shurmur's coaching or Gettleman's structure when you look at the roster. Those guys now have a year off of facing criticism and pressure as long as Jones develops.
And could you imagine, Moose?
Which has got to be a good position to be in.
Yeah, sure. Could you imagine, if Beckham was still there? The attention, like this would be even, I don't know, like more polarizing, right or wrong? It would be because I think somehow, some way, I think Beckham would say something. Either before it was decided that Eli was benched, or once this happened, I'm just saying the Beckham element would have been involved in some way, shape, or form.
I
just feel like
because he's that kind of personality.
I just thought about that.
You're right. And listen, Beckham threw Eli under the bus last year when he was asked, "Is Eli the quarterback?" He basically gave you a non-answer. So you know, Beckham basically told you what he felt about Manning. But you know that 2004. Draft class, right? Roethlisberger's now done for the year, and he's had an amazing amount of success out in Pittsburgh, and he had the elbow surgery. And who knows where his career now goes forward. And Mason Rudolph's got a big old opportunity in Pittsburgh.
Sure.
You got Phillip Rivers, who's still chasing that Vince Lombardi trophy out there in Los Angeles now with the Chargers. And Eli Manning's career, for all intents and purposes, and listen, he doesn't want to go anywhere. The whole idea, he's got, I believe, four kids that are 8 and under.
He's got a big house in the Hamptons, I believe.
He's entrenched in this area.
Yeah.
Eli Manning loves being the quarterback, but he loves being the Giants quarterback. From my understanding now things can change, obviously, and we know there's, you know, Pittsburgh and, you know, for a brief time, maybe Jacksonville, the Saints like Bridgewater, and they're paying him $7 million.
Right.
But, Taz, this whole idea of him waiving his no-trade clause and forcing his way out of here, I don't think that's happening. And I think Eli knew the writing on the wall going into the year. That's why, you know, he might have been a little bit surprised by it because it came as quickly as it did. But he understands, Taz, we're all smart. Once the Giants draft the sixth guy, sixth overall, there was going to come a point in time where he was going to take over this organization. And Eli needed to play better, even though it's not all his fault, to keep him off the field. And the Giants are an 0-2 bad watch, bad football team.
Yeah. Yeah,
where their fans sleeping and falling asleep, as it was on the back page of the New York Daily News the other day, falling asleep during the course of the game. Got passed out in the stands.
Well, it could be a little bit of alcohol consumption.
Well, it could
but
be
I
that, or it just could be the product as well.
Could be the product.
Right.
Yeah, it was. Look, obviously, I watched both these Giants games like you did, especially the second one, I'm sorry, against the Bills, right? And I'm watching it, and there was just no. It's just you could feel the lack of energy from the offense from home. Like I could feel like, man, there's nothing there. Like, and it felt like it was 10 other guys on the offense and Eli Manning. Like it felt like he.
Got that sense. Really?
I did. I really feel like he was putting a lot of pressure on himself because he's a winner. He's a champion.
I gotcha.
He is, and I felt like he was Moose. Like his face, he just looked stressed while he was playing. And a guy with his success and usually cool as a cucumber, I maybe I'm wrong. That was just the perspective, the look that I saw in him on TV when he played the Bills.
I think he maybe a little frustration. Guys weren't getting open, Taz, too. It's hard to feel for his amount of success he's had, Taz, and the amount of money he's made. It's hard to feel bad for Eli Manning.
Oh, yeah, no,
you know,
yeah,
but the last 6 or 7 years, the Giants did a poor job of building a team around him. And now, you know, for all intents and purposes, this will be it for Eli Manning in his career. And I mentioned that draft class. You know, Rivers is still chasing it. Ben Roethlisberger, if he never plays another down, is probably going to be a Hall of Famer. But, you know, there seems to be this kind of divisive conversation surrounding Eli Manning of just what he is, right? A career 500 record in the regular season, had two epic Super Bowl runs, and beaten Brady and Belichick in the ultimate game.
Yeah.
Now, statistically, he's going to be a top 10 quarterback statistically in the National Football League all time in yards and touchdowns and the like in completions. But you know, people are going to rage on debate about whether or not he's a Hall of Famer. I think he is.
I do too.
I think he gets the Canton, Ohio, and the Hall of Fame. Yeah. But there's a great debate, Taz. You don't over debate the greatness of Roethlisberger. Eli's always had that debate locally in New York and also across of just how good Eli Manning is.
Right.
He's always been in the shadow of his brother Peyton and his brilliance.
Listen, I'll tell you, for those that don't live in the tri-state area here of New York, New Jersey, or Connecticut, I'm just letting you people know, like, no matter if you're a Jet fan or a Giant fan or whatever team you rooted for, the bulk of folks in this area, the tri-state area, respect and always respect to Eli Manning. And, I think that was pretty evident. That's pretty evident. And because of what he's done and because of his greatness. And I think definitely he's a Hall of Fame guy. By the way, I don't know if you saw, a lot of people didn't see the show, but I think it might get out today a little bit. I saw it on Fox Business, believe it or not, what Terry Bradshaw said. I don't know if you saw this. This is interesting, I'll tell you. He talked about Eli Manning with the Giants. He felt bad for Eli, he said. And he goes, I'd shake their hands, I'd pack my bags, I'd go home. Because that'd be a hard pill to swallow after all that. I was a little surprised to hear a guy like Terry Bradshaw, old school QB, blue collar Jones, Pittsburgh Steelers, all that great success, those great Steeler teams, that he would just pack up and leave. But, I mean, what do you expect him to do, Terry? You expect him just to play Eli nonstop, like, you know, just until He's not Tom Brady. He's not doing what Brady's doing.
No, he's not, but I guess maybe it's I'm trying to get in the head of Terry Bradshaw. It might be a little bit difficult to do, but I would guess maybe being the surprise that it's this early.
Okay, yeah,
maybe
I see.
Maybe that's the case, where you didn't give me a chance. I mean, the defense is atrocious. Shepard's in concussion protocol. Golden Tate is suspended.
Right.
You don't have your, you know, for the most part, you haven't had your top pairing of wide receivers in either of the games. Defense is horrible, and maybe Eli, from Bradshaw's perspective, maybe he's looking at that Eli's getting a little scapegoated.
Okay. I didn't look at it like that. Could be. I give him the benefit of that. I respect Bradshaw.
But here's the thing. It should not, the one thing before is, at least you're getting benched for a guy who can play. They hope. right, in Daniel Jones. The last time they embarrassed him for Geno Smith. See, the time with Geno, Taz,
right,
I would have packed my bags. I would have been like, listen, Taz.
That's different.
I'm out. I'm out. You got to be kidding me here.
The Geno's.
Yeah, the Geno one was that. I think Eli understood that the time was ticking, Taz. I do. Yeah. I think Eli understood that. And, you know, it comes to an end here. And it's the era does come to an end. But you mentioned it for Giant fans. I think you are right. I think Giant fans are excited and hopeful now for the future because you could deal with being bad if the young quarterback plays well.
He's developing. Because
then you could see the sign of what he potentially could be.
He's developing.
If you're bad with an old quarterback, then where the hell you go?
That's how I feel last year and the next 4 or 5 years with Allen, with the Bills. That's how I'm going to feel.
You're hopeful.
We're 2-0 now. And
that's it.
Wish it could end right now.
Mike Tannenbaum will join us a little later on the program. I want to hear from you in terms of the way that it ended for Eli Manning in New York with the Giants. Now it's the Daniel Jones era has officially begun. And we'll get into next the Jalen Ramsey presser yesterday, which was very, very interesting and very, very entertaining as he's either talking himself in or out of Jacksonville. That comes your way next. It's Taz Moose on Wednesday morning right here, CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line of 855-212-4227. You know what it is. Entrenched in your brain. It's brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance.
Let's go out to lovely San Diego. Talk to Eric. Listen on 97.3 FM. Eric, you're on with Taz and Moose. What's up?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Good morning,
what's
Eric.
Going on,
good
Hoss?
Morning.
What's up, bro?
This posing this question yesterday might have been easier than today, but I got a bench cut start for you guys. Who retires first, Roethlisberger, Manning, or Breeze?
Okay, so Mike, you're taking notes. The team's taking notes because this young man Eric has a great idea.
So what was the Manning, Breeze, Roethlisberger? What's the question, Eric?
Who announces retirement first?
Oh, gotcha.
Let's not do it now. This is a good idea, Moose. I like what Eric's doing
here.
There
you go.
Now this, you understand, Eric, when you call and you pitch an idea to the show, on air or off air, it becomes RIP. I mean, it's all property now. You understand that, right?
Yes, I understand.
RIP,
I got it.
Yeah.
Cool, man.
I don't think Eric's all that concerned.
Yeah, he's like, all right, it's a problem, Taz. Yeah, you guys can do whatever you want to
do. This isn't exactly Seinfeld going to Netflix.
Couldn't understand a word you said. Wait, no, you can't give it now. We're going to do this tomorrow or Thursday. Then you call in, and then you give your bench cut start. That's how this happens, Eric. You don't give it now. We act like it was all right there in 2-3 days, and then you call in and give your bench cut start.
But you guys have so many callers calling in, I might not get through.
We'll make sure. Mike will make sure the guys get you through, Eric. We appreciate
you. I'll take care of it.
You're the man, Eric. Thank
Mike
you
will
for
get
the,
your cell number.
Yeah, Mike will get
I'll
you.
Call
He's
you.
Got you covered. That's
at
all.
Like 2 in the morning, right when he walks into work. 2 in the morning, West Coast time. He'll call you. Wake you up,
South
wherever
San
you might
Diego.
Be. Right out of your slumber.
Yeah, I love it.
As you're
I
right in the it. Middle of a great dream.
And Moose, I know I can speak for you, Moose. We love
right
when people
up.
Give us ideas, creative ideas, especially a good one. That was a good idea.
That was a good idea. Good job by Eric.
That was good.
You guys thinking shoes on this morning.
Yeah.
It's a good job.
Well, you know who just walked in here?
Yes, he did, yes.
Wow. Hey, Andrew, how
What's
are
going
you,
on, Andrew?
Guy?
Hey, Taz, good morning.
I could not but
good
notice.
Morning.
Good morning.
Yeah.
You're wearing apparel that annoys me right now.
Oh, shocking that I annoy you. That never happens.
Yeah, you look right at what's annoying me. And you're wearing, I'll paint the picture for you people. He's wearing a T-shirt with a pocket on it. Okay, and that aggravates me. I don't like people who wear a plain T-shirt that's a heathered pink or salmon color with a pocket. What are you putting in a pocket, bro? What are you going to put in there? A tin of dip?
Like
tobacco? What are you putting in there?
Maybe. my flavor jewel, perhaps, since I'm a renegade in New York.
Flavor jewel. You're a renegade in New York. I mean, what are you putting in there? You're putting in, like, a pack of Marlboro? What are you putting in
there?
It's
actually hiding my left man boob, if I'm being honest.
There you go. You have a little coverage.
Exactly.
He has a swollen areola.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Okay.
What game did you do this weekend?
I did Delaware and North Dakota State.
How'd it go?
Did not go well for Delaware.
How did the play-by-play go?
It was okay.
It was not great.
Okay. It wasn't our best effort.
Did you go back and listen to your play-by-play?
I prefer not to.
If I can
get my hands on this one, I will. Getting the actual footage is sometimes an issue.
I'll listen to it.
Yeah. Okay.
There was no way for me to tape it myself this time around. It didn't air up here in New York.
Do you feel particularly sharp?
I did not on Saturday.
And the reason?
I don't know. Maybe I'm just not good at this. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just curious.
I don't know.
How many Delaware games are you doing this year?
That's it. This is the only one that they had available.
Well, that's it. You're usually like that regular guy.
Did two games last year, the three before that, but this year there was only one game unaccounted for.
That's not a good sign, bro. If they're cutting back
on you. Let's make them feel good.
I'm just being honest. If he had three games, then he went to two games, then he went to one.
I mean, if you want to dive into the... It's the problem.
A little positive.
They hire me for games that don't get picked up by all of their CAA TV partners.
Wow.
And this year they have a new partner who's picked up a lot of games. There's only one game left over, and it was this one.
Let me ask this. Who's your color commentator, your partner?
Your good friend, Kadri Ismael.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Interesting. Well, I have a better partner for you. No disrespect to Ismael.
Mm.
How about Mikey B? He's got play-by-play.
Here's the 1-1. It's a ground ball to Keith Werman. Scoops it up. Throws to first. It's perfection. Will Roberts has thrown a perfect game for the Cavaliers.
Yes.
I got to tell you, Moose, that would be good. Could you imagine Mikey B and Andrew doing play-by-play for the Blue Hens?
I don't think Bogus then might go down to zero games next year.
Right, that's the problem. Right. That's me and Mike do the same thing.
Yes.
Who's the analyst in this scenario?
I can be the analyst. Oh, no problem.
Yes.
What a team player.
He knows his Delaware football.
And he can bring us lunch.
Yeah.
Yes. That's exactly right. Turn on the Uber.
It's a win-win. Third down and six. I'm right outside Subway.
That's exactly right.
Finish it off, Andrew.
Where's my partner? I don't know. He's delivering some dumplings.
Are you doing any other play-by-play this fall?
I have some Fordham games this fall and some high school games. Yes.
Nice. Very nice.
Oh, you're doing Fordham football, the Rams.
The Rams.
How about, what's his name? Maybe Big Zach. He could be the commentator with you, too.
This is for Bruce Arians. This is for Steve Jalato. This is for the Klecko family.
Right, Wade for everybody.
Wayne Harden.
For anybody that ever was around Temple.
Even though it was a Fordham-Richmond game.
That's it.
We're doing it for the Owls, always.
When you do Fordham, since you're a Fordham grad, do you say we?
I would never, ever say we.
Oh, you never say we.
No. That's a good question. I like that question.
No. So you're not a homer when you're doing Fordham football?
No.
Okay.
Could never. That's a cardinal sin.
I agree with you. That's good job by you.
I respect you. You see a lot of the Syracuse grads that do play by play. They do what you. Well, they don't do that, but they'll.
Oh, don't paint everybody with the raw brush. That's not true.
Don't hate.
Well, don't hate on the brilliance.
No, there's a ton of
great. Don't hate on the brilliance.
No, listen, I respect the Newhouse School Jones. I know it's great. There's some great talent coming out of there. I know, but I'm saying there are some of those Syracuse guys that are a little bit homers. There are. There are.
I think it's... Oh, come on.
Just saying. I'm just telling.
Stop.
No, I respect all of... I've worked with a lot of Syracuse. You're not the only Syracuse guy I worked with. This is not Gene Deckerhouse
doing Florida State football.
Well, Andrew, listen, good luck. I mean, whatever.
Thank you, Tess. I appreciate that.
I mean, I don't know if you just got to work on that with Delaware. So
I'm doing my best.
But I would give you a free consulting if you'd like to send me a link to the games, and I'll listen to your commentary.
I'd appreciate that.
And I'll be, unfiltered in my commentary. I'll do a podcast about it, actually.
Nah.
I'll break down your...
With me or no?
No. No. No, with Mike. So
smart.
That's I'll do it.
Yeah, on Mike's podcast.
We'll have fun.
Yeah. What's going on this morning, Andrew?
I want the sausage.
This what's going on?
Enjoy. Is why baseball's the best. Mike Yastrzemski, Carl's grandson, played at Fenway Park last night and homered in the fifth inning.
3-1, Yastrzemski hits a high drive center field. Jackie Bradley going back, looking up. It's gone. And you can only imagine what's going through the head of Mike Yastrzemski. And his whole family, he has homered at Fenway Park.
Dave Fleming on Giants Radio.
Yeah, that's great.
The first time Yastrzemski played in Boston since Carl's final game back in 1983. San Francisco eventually won the game 7-6 in 15. 16 innings. I think they used a combined like 24 pitchers, which ties the big league record. So congrats them on that one.
If you're in the audience there, if you're in the audience in Boston, in Fenway, you got that's a ball you got to save. You know what I mean? You got to save that ball.
No doubt.
Right or wrong. Yeah. That's awesome, man.
That's a good question. I wonder if he got the ball back.
I don't know. I mean, I'm watching the ball bouncing, you know, in the stand.
Yeah, it bounced to straightaway center field. I wonder if he got the ball back.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, let me see if I can find that out.
Yeah, that
usually they'll do a story.
That'd be something right there, though, huh? Yeah, he's a good player, that kid, for sure. Now, that's his granddad is the
correct
the legend there, of course.
Awesome. So we also last night had Blue Jays rookie Kevin Biggio hitting for the cycle in an 8-5 win over the Orioles. He and his Hall of Fame dad, Craig, now the second father-son duo ever to hit for the cycle. As for the postseason, the Brewers have caught the Cubs.
1-2 pitch. Swing and a high drive. Deep right! We're not tied anymore! Mike Moustakas, a towering shot for home run number 35. And the Brewers have a 2-1 lead.
And then a 3-1 win over the Padres. That was Jeff Levering on Brewers Radio. The Cubs lost at Wrigley to the Reds 4-2, so these two are tied for the second NL wild card. The A's sidestepped the Royals 2-1. The Rays lost at Dodger Stadium 7-5. The Indians beat the Tigers 7-2. So Oakland has the top AL wild card. Tampa Bay is two back. Cleveland a half game behind them. And the Indians remain five games behind the Twins in the AL Central. Minnesota outlasted the White Sox 9-8 in 12. The winning run scored when Ronald Torres was hit by a pitch with the bases loaded.
Are you not going to talk about the Met game?
I haven't got.
Oh, you're not done? Okay, continue.
Get there.
Mets.
I'm waiting. I'm sitting looking at it. Waiting.
They beat the Rockies 6-1.
Yeah.
They are four games behind that tie for the second.
11 to go.
How about all the home runs? And what do you call it? The sixth inning.
Yes.
You know, that's not a big deal. That was a very big deal. I mean, well, Nemo, Rosario, you know, that's Alonzo. That was awesome. I was sitting there watching. Am I the only Met fan that didn't give up on the team? I'm still watching.
That's great.
Just the team being four back with 11 to go be left out of an update.
Couple teams
sometimes,
to overcome. Yeah.
Right.
You still got to watch. You still got to support them.
I watched it this morning when I got here. It doesn't mean it has to be in every single one of my national sports radio updates.
Fair assessment, but
that's fine.
Taz was obviously locked in.
I was locked in. I'm watching the game.
It was at SNY last night. Watched. Good win for the Mets. Yeah. Unfortunately, and there's not much time left.
No.
There's always next season.
Okay.
Got it. No problem. That's our mantra.
Yes, it is.
They
got another game this afternoon.
Can't
wait. It's Colorado.
All right.
I think 3:35 it starts.
Maybe 3:10. Definitely 10. The 3 o'clock.
I'll probably be recording a podcast.
There you go.
The Taz show at that time.
All right. Well, afterward.
Yeah, maybe.
I was scheduled to mention the fact that Yankees reliever Dellin Betances has a partially torn Achilles. He suffered that during his season debut on Sunday in Toronto, so he ends up facing just two batters this evening. That announcement came after an 8-0 win over the Angels. It began with Luis Severino making his season debut, and that's the good news for
Severino
the Yankees.
Looked good last night.
Four scoreless innings, two hits, and four Ks. And then there's all that New York quarterback news. The Giants are benching Eli Manning for rookie Daniel Jones, and the Jets are on to their third starting QB in as many weeks. Luke Falk is sacrificed to the Patriots on Sunday because Trevor Siemian's left ankle injury from Monday night is torn ligaments. He will undergo season-ending surgery. And Eagles wideout DeSean Jackson expected to miss 2 weeks with an abdominal strain. And now I'm done.
You know, all you're right, very creative in your updates.
Well,
I
try.
We don't bring that up enough, and I want to give you credit.
You're being too nice today. I don't like it. Something's wrong. What's happening?
You are creative.
Is today my last day?
I can speak for Moose on this, too. So I think you're very creative on your way you do updates. So we don't say that enough to you. So on behalf of Mark Malusis and myself.
Yeah,
Mark,
you're just very creative.
What about Mike and Pete? No.
I don't talk to them, those guys much. I don't
good
really,
job. There.
Nice creative writing.
Well done. Well
down
done.
Louisiana.
Very
handsome,
well done.
Too.
Let's
good
talk
job.
To Dustin. Listen, I'm 103.7. Hey, Dustin, you're on with Taz and
what's happening?
Good morning.
What's
how
up, Haas? How are you, buddy?
What's going on, man? As a Saints and Steelers fan this week, man, my drinking bill has come up so much, it's ridiculous. But with Eli Manning, man, I think his agent needs to waive that no-trade clause and try to find him a starting job. I mean, he's done great things with the Giants, but that's a dumpster fire right now. And honestly, I would love to see Manning come to New Orleans. We need help right now to end his career where his dad played. Mm-hmm. And I mean, our O-line, besides our center being suspect, at least our O-line ain't sleeping on the field like the Giants fans in the stadium.
Yeah.
You got a good defense, too.
Yeah, I mean, the problem they have is they really like Bridgewater down there, Dustin. They're paying him $7 million.
Yeah, but Bridgewater ain't been to two Super Bowls against the Patriots, though, so I just got to figure.
But, you know, you make a good point, man, because of Archie Manning and his success down there in Louisiana, Dustin. Yeah, Eli would be, yeah, geez, man, he'd be a superstar down there, right? That'd be unbelievable.
Well, I mean, the Mannings are very, in tight with that community down there in New Orleans. Yeah.
It's where he grew up. I would figure it.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, the issue, though, you have, and Dustin, thanks a lot for the call, and good luck to your Saints the rest of the way. The issue you have is that Breeze is going to return. And when Breeze returns, Manning goes to the bench. I mean, the only place he would, step in, it would be his team conceivably the rest of the way would be, the Steelers if they decide to make that kind of move, Taz. But they seem to be very, very confident in the ability of Mason Rudolph.
Maybe the Jags, like we were saying earlier, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, but that Foles is going to return. So, I mean, is Eli then going to take over that team when Foles returns? Foles then going to assume the backup role down there after they gave him all that kind of money? I mean, who knows? I mean, it's not the clean. I guess my argument is the only clean scenario would be Pittsburgh. Because the other two scenarios, the quarterbacks are set to return at some point this year in Foles and Drew Brees. Brees is going to have surgery today on that thumb with the torn ligaments. He's going to be out for the next 6 weeks, Taz. But he's going to be back, and he's going to be playing this year for the New Orleans Saints.
A memory escapes me. Foles, what Jaguars, how long is he?
I thought it was 8 to 10 weeks.
All right. So, I mean, I do think, man, if you're a Jaguar fan and you want to win now, or let's say, the Saints fan, you got a chance to maybe get a guy like Eli who's got a fresh coat of paint now in a new town, with a new team and stuff like that, with maybe a better defense, some offensive weapons.
From what I understand is that Eli does not want to go anywhere.
No, we talked about that.
Right. The Giants are not going to force him out of there either. The Giants are not going to push it. For intents and purposes for the callers out there, when you look at it, Eli would have to go to the Giants and say, I'd like to be out of here.
Right.
I would like to find someplace else. I'd like to play this year someplace else for the Giants to trade him. And that's the only point I'm making is not the Giants are not going to go to Eli Manning and say, we want to move you. We want you to waive your no trade clause. They're not going to do that to him. They'll pay him the $17 million that they owe him for the rest of the year for him to be the backup quarterback for Daniel Jones. So that's the way that it's going to happen and transpire is that he'd have to go to them and tell them that he wants out.
Right.
And I don't know right now, from my understanding, is that's not something that he wants to do. That could change.
Well,
it could change next week.
Right, of course.
Change in 2 weeks. I don't know. But right now, that's not what he wants to do.
Nah, and we said that in the first segment. And I think he's entrenched here in this area of New York. And I said, I know he's got a big, big, big mansion, a big place out in the Hamptons. He's got little kids, like you said. In a perfect scenario for the Giants and for Daniel Jones and for Eli Manning, this is if Eli really wanted to do this. It could happen. We've seen it happen. But it doesn't happen often because these guys are so damn competitive, which I respect. Could you imagine this, Moose? If Eli embraced this backup role and this to be a mentor to a kid that a lot of people say reminds them of a young Eli Manning, just a little bit more athletic, And imagine how good Daniel Jones could be if Eli really embraced helping him while he's making all this money, Eli. You know what I mean? That'd be great. That'd be great for the Giants. That'd be great for everybody involved, I think.
Yeah, I think Eli's, like I mentioned the other night, I chat with Benny Fowler, who's a wide receiver for the Giants, a former player at Michigan State, and he said that I talked about the preparedness of Daniel Jones, and he said, and the work ethic, and he goes, well, that has all to do with Eli Manning, because Manning showed him the ropes in how to prepare in terms of watching video, being in that quarterback room, running practice. So he goes, that all has to do with Eli Manning helping the young quarterback learn and helping him learn what it is to be an NFL quarterback. So to play your point, Taz, I think he's already started that process even before.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that at the time because Eli publicly came out and said, I'm not here to –
to step away
to teach a young quarterback. Right. I'm here to play. So, yeah. But it's happened already. And Taz, I would imagine Eli, who's made a lot of money, I would imagine that Eli and the Giants have been very good to him. I would imagine Eli is going to be good to the Giants.
That's
and
nice
even though
hear.
It's a very difficult spot, as everyone knows, because he's. If you're a competitive athlete, you want to play.
No, you
don't want to be sitting there on the bench and saying, teaching some guy. But I think Eli's already helped him. I'd imagine he's going to continue to help him.
And wealth is not a problem for Eli.
Right. Throw into triple coverage. See what happens.
That's funny.
Gamble with the football.
Remember not at Duke
Brett,
anymore.
Remember Brett Favre? You remind me of a young Brett Favre. Who cares about ball security? It's Taz and the Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, time right now to ask the pros, where you, the listener, get to ask us a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Submit your question. Be listening later on in the show. We might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service. Where? O'Reilly Auto Parts, of course. Better parts, better prices every day.
Finally, it's been a good song coming out of break. The first time, I think, in what, 2 years here?
Yeah, tell me about it.
We have a different taste in music.
It's a great tune, bro.
I don't even know what this is.
You don't appreciate it. You don't appreciate a nice guitar strumming along, a little country sound.
Not as much as you do, obviously.
Yeah, sitting there eating a steak, some potatoes, pack a lip, drink some bourbon. Yeah, that's cool.
You should be like 800 pounds the way you eat.
I know I should be.
Honestly. You eat like that, and I'm surprised you're
still alive.
That's a Tuesday night for me, buddy.
Right. Get the paddles ready.
Yes.
Taz is going in.
He's down again.
Right. Clear out those arteries.
Oh, my God.
All right. Yearly angioplasty for Taz. Just cleaning the tubes.
Yesterday we played a little, we didn't, and Pete actually did a good job. He played a little Dick Dale. You know Dick Dale?
I don't.
Some little Dick Dale here, Pete. So Moose will know right away. When you hear it, you'll know. But Dick Dale's one of the world's greatest guitar players of all time. You know the song.
Oh, yeah.
So this guy, he used to play...
Yeah, Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, correct. But through the 60s and 70s.
Okay.
Surfer gimmick.
Gotcha.
But, dude, if you go, like, on iTunes and, like, his music, like, his guitar playing, his speed, like... Freaking nature, but this was the most famous song.
Yeah, no, it's great. Yeah. Great. I didn't know this Dick was Dale, the great Dick Dale.
I'm a big fan of his. Yeah. So, he's great. Oh, listen to this guy.
Dick was great.
Yeah, he was great. So, Dick Dale.
Yeah, anyway.
It's a great name, too. Dick Dale.
Yeah, that is awesome.
Great name. I mean, if your name is going to be, your first name's Dick,
well,
your last name Dale.
Yeah,
sounds
go.
Right.
You
know what I mean? Sure, we can go that way. I mean, whatever you want to do.
Yes, I understand. Well, yeah, that's a great song. That really is. It is. It is. But we definitely have a different taste in what we appreciate in music.
You like more of Eminem, you know, hip-hop from the 80s, late 90s or whatever.
Yeah, so, old school.
Yeah. That's, yeah.
Yeah, old school hip-hop. No. Yeah.
That's your style right there.
This is me. Yeah. I'm all over this. This is good.
And I'm a little bit more, you know, FD. I'm a little Fred Durst, you know.
Limp Bizkit. Yeah, yes,
you know
I do like Limp Bizkit.
You know
as well.
Me. I'm all about the Limp Bizkit, bro.
Yes,
that's my gimmick. You know that. Give me some Limp Bizkit. I'm ready to just crack somebody open, bro. I'm ready to go. Come on.
Yeah, you like a little country as well.
I do. I'm not a huge
country music fan.
I do like a little country. You know.
I do like a little bit of. Yeah, I do have appreciation for Elvis. Elvis.
I'm with you on that.
Not a Beatles guy.
Billy Joel.
I do like Billy Joel. Yeah,
I like Billy Joel.
Yeah, seen him in concert a number of times.
No way.
Yeah,
the one at the Garden when he's always at
the
Garden.
Saw him in up in Syracuse, New York, when I was in college.
No way.
Yeah. Saw him and the Rolling Stones up at the Dome.
Dude, that'd be awesome.
Oh, yeah. The Stones was... Stones was great. They actually... I was reminiscing about this with my dad because we were talking about Syracuse days because they were actually supposed to come up, like the whole family, to go see the Stones. I went and got tickets. I was looking at ticket stubs, and the tickets were like
$25 or something.
Yeah. Like, that's a lot of money, yeah. Back then.
Well, back then, I mean, we're talking about 97, 90. I mean, nowadays, you look at tickets are like $150.
Yeah, 70, no.
75
no.
to one. So you look at the tickets weren't all that, you know, weren't super expensive. But they had a huge snowstorm here. My dad couldn't make it. My sisters came up, made the trip, and then we went all to see the Rolling Stones. So it was great.
How do you know when you're in college you're going to go to a Rolling Stones concert on campus with your family?
Yeah, they came up.
No, but that's a little crazy, you know. You're going to go wild, bro. Not with your family.
No.
You get bombed.
No. I wasn't getting bombed. No, I was not. I was not, Taz.
All right.
We had a little bit of a different growing. Taz Moose on a Wednesday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.